more about Irish debt. Is this turning into another Greece?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. European leaders this morning did a lot of talking about Ireland. Investors worry the country may require a debt bailout from European nations. So we've been covering the story now for the past week, and it's probably going to keep coming up, and it kind of reminds us of the Greek debt crisis. But what's really going on in Ireland? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is here to walk us through this morning. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Is Ireland any different than Greece?
Well, both countries are in a severe downturn, so their public finances are shot to pieces for the usual reasons, low tax revenues and higher public spending on unemployment pay, things like that. But there's a critical difference between the two. Greece is in trouble, really in trouble, because of a wildly irresponsible government living beyond its means, overspending on the Olympics, providing pensions and other benefits it couldn't afford, while in Ireland it was wildly irresponsible banks at the root of the problem. They inflated a massive property bubble, which has now burst. Simon Tilford is with the Centre for European Reform.
Now they have a huge overhang of unsold houses and a highly indebted banking sector and an economy that is unlikely to grow much for many years to come.
Because the Irish government feared that widespread bank defaults could bring down the whole economy, it guaranteed most of the bank debts. So now the Irish government is as heavily indebted as the Greek government.
All right, Stephen, but we keep hearing about more and more European countries with these debt problems. Where is this all going to lead?
Well, worst case scenario, the euro could break up. The country to watch as ever is Germany. The absolute bottom line, I believe, is will Germany be prepared to pick up the tab for the weaker member states that can't pay their way? That's the ultimate question. Will the Germans agree to pay more, a lot more, to keep the euro going?
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Global stock markets are lower at the moment. Europe's down like 1% or more. Irish debt, the culprit again. Wall Street yesterday, losses for the S&P and NASDAQ, more than 1%. The Dow, though, managed to add a few points, 9 points to be exact, to close at 11,201. Today, every member of Congress will get a present from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's a new game called This Way to Jobs, a critique of federal rules and regulations. Marketplace's David Gura played along.
Here I am in the taxation zone among crumbling small businesses.
I get to spin.
I try to survive, moving my smiley face avatar along Main Street, USA.
One, two, passing panic pothole debt dip gridlock's guideline.
James Gelfand at the Chamber of Commerce helped design the game.
It's not quite as fun as Candyland because being a business owner is pretty tough right now.
If I were a kid, I'd want to hang out with King Candy. Finally, I get a lucky spin.
I did it. All right. Congratulations on being a winner. You've navigated many complex and onerous regulations to make it to Prosperity Park.
Okay, I get that government stood in my way. Now that I'm rich, where's my candy? In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
A new study in the current issue of the Journal of Marketing says brand names mean so much to consumers, they'll go to great lengths to afford them. Joe Priester is one of the authors of the study. He's associate professor of marketing at the Marshall School of Business at the University of Southern California. Professor, thanks for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Steve.
I got to tell you, I love Frosted Flakes. I've eaten them since I was a kid. Why did I become enamored with that particular brand?
Well, my guess is that it's enmeshed with a lot of other experiences and memories. You not only like Frosted Flakes, but you sort of consider it a part of yourself, and you probably think about it unprompted.
I can remember when I was a poor college student and mom and dad didn't have the money to buy my Frosted Flakes anymore, and I saved a couple bucks by buying the generic brand.
And then when you had money again, did you stick with the generic?
I started buying the brand again.
just like the thought of losing or not having our good friends around can sort of lead to this emotional distress, what's interesting is that brands can prompt exactly the same kind of thing.
What was your brand?
If I have a Starbucks in my hand in the morning, I sort of feel secure and I can take on the world.
Dating back a long time?
Oh, it reminds me back when I was in New York and I'd be walking to the subway in the snow and to have that Starbucks. It was sort of a nice memory in time.
I know it may sound like we've got the Kellogg's cereal company and Starbucks coffee company and, you know, the representatives are right outside of the door. But I can tell you that this is pertinent information because these guys are taking a look at this information and saying, wait.
Well, in a way, this becomes the new target. For businesses to really be exceptional and to really excel, it's not just how do I get them to like us, but what can we do to really provide something that makes it really meaningful and part of the person.
Today, there obviously is a lot of hardship, economic hardship, high unemployment, a lot of people cutting corners. Is that making any kind of difference?
That's when this brand attachment really becomes important. Because if times aren't tough and you have more resources, then you can be buying all sorts of brands. But when you start to having to cut back, I think that there's a differential in how you cut back. So it's the brands that you're really attached with. Those are the ones you'll try to hang on to as long as you can. Whereas the brands that you simply like, those are easy to substitute.
Joe Priester, Associate Professor of Marketing at USC's Marshall School of Business. Joe, thanks.
Hey, Steve, it's a pleasure.
And finally, a business professor at Harvard has taken to Hollywood to teach students about the difficulties of entrepreneurship. Noam Wasserman uses clips of TV shows and movies like this one from the film Jerry Maguire, after Maguire gets fired from his job. He's leaving, box in hand, and he asks people to come with him to start another business.
If anybody else wants to come with me, this moment will be the moment of something real and fun and inspiring in this God-forsaken business, and we will do it together.
Well, Professor Wasserman also cites an old episode of Different Strokes where Arnold goes to the bug spray business with his stepbrother. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
What if you could combine the excitement of a big win playing Lotto with the practicality of just putting all that money in the bank?
We're giving them an opportunity to redirect that behavior that, frankly, most of us enjoy, the opportunity for a game of chance, the opportunity to win a prize. We're redirecting that to something really constructive.
I'm Kai Rizdal, making banking fun next time on Freakonomics Radio. It's on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.